evening of sharing with you guys, just regarding sexuality, something that is so part of all of us, and even in this world, especially. Something that you guys see in all of our education systems. There's a lot of talk that's been happening just regarding that CSE that they want to implement, comprehensive sexual education that happens. We had Ryan Smith here this morning. Unfortunately, he couldn't stay for this evening as well. He gave us just a rundown of the rights that we as parents have regarding this, but I'm not going to share too much about that because I know that my crowd tonight don't have too many school-going children apart from me and Johnny in Valhalla, I think. Yeah. So tonight I'm going to take a little bit of a different angle, but I want us to remain in that avenue because that is what we are doing with our Coming Home series. And you guys, if you want to see the pastor blushing, then come to small group on Wednesday. Okay. Especially you guys, this side, because I've even done it a little bit more practical for the obvious reasons in the English lesson. So, yeah. So, enjoy that. Luckily, I don't think that the lights were too bright, so you can't see me. But anyway, so when we speak about, hope in sexual education, obviously that is what we're speaking about and coming up with. What I want to just talk about tonight, and you guys can talk with me if you want, is that when it comes to this issue of sexuality, it is a very godly thing. Okay, I'll get you, but I come over your opening for now. See this. Okay, let's do that. No, so it's a very godly thing, and what Satan does is he turns that which is godly and he wants to make it, ugly in one or other way. Okay, so I want to speak to you on that biblical norms that we get. So the angle that I took is maybe you and I, we all grew up in homes. Okay, so I'm just going to ask the questions. You don't have to tell anybody. Okay? So for some of us, when was the first time that somebody spoke to you about sexuality? You can just think. All right? When was the first time that anybody spoke to you about sex? When was the first time that you maybe encountered any of those things that weren't so nice? Okay, so dropping that heavy one there, the reason I'm taking us back is all of us were supposed to have been at least in your household in a perfect scenario, schooled in that sense of the Bible of what it means to be either a man or a woman. Because there's a lot of weird things out there these days. And we find it here in Genesis 1. And I'm gonna take a couple of scriptures. So I know that some of this might not be relevant to you. Okay? But I want you guys to walk with me through just a biblical pattern of sex and sexuality, as if you would be training up your kids, like mine are now. Mine are 5, and 8, and 10. Okay, so all of us should have had that base laid with us, in us, as a kid. So I'm gonna run us through that. If you guys want to add something, you're welcome to do that. But the first place where we begin, and this is paramount because God instructs, through Genesis, he gives the paradigms for what we are supposed to be. And he says there in Genesis 1, verse 24 to 27, says there, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In his image, in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. All right, so when we start to speak about this, the reason it is important is that by who we are, either male or female, we represent God. It is something that comes from God. It is something that God has placed there. He said, listen, so God was having this conversation in the Trinity. They said, let us make man, the human race. Let us make them. How will we make them? Let's make them in our image. That's what the scripture says. Okay, so what does that look like? Male and female, he created them. So, just taking a step back from that, usually when I do marriage prep with people that want to get married, then we speak about this scripture, and I say, listen, you are a Christian, that's why you want to get married by me, a pastor, but the fact is, even if you're not a Christian, and you decide to get married, one man, one woman coming together in unity. You, if you want it or not, you are directly in the path of Satan. Because what? You represent the image of God. Okay, so you represent the image of God as a man and a woman. So I'm building this so that you understand, why do we have this massive fights about, you know, gender, and you get now 60 type of genders and everybody can think what they are. Why do you think that is part of our culture? Well, because of the scripture. Satan wants to do everything possibly, everything in his power to bring whatever God created, what is the image of God in this world, and bring it into disrepute. Okay? So that is the starting point. So God created us in his image. Now, I'll connect this to another scripture that comes a bit later, but I want to say it here. For some of us, all of us, God thought about you before he created you. Okay? The other scripture that will come now says it a bit better. But I want you to remember that God has had you in mind, like you are, before everything started. Because he was thinking about this. And then he made. So you and I existed already in God before we were actually here. Okay? So when you look at yourself, and you have got lies and stuff maybe in your head that says, but maybe, you know, my dad wanted a girl, now I'm a boy. So I'm going to be like a girl. Well, my dad wanted a boy, and I'm a girl, now I'm going to be like a boy. That's their issues, yes, obviously, and sometimes it's tough for us in that place. But to know that you have been created by God already before stuff happened, it sets you free to be you just by way of how God has made you. Okay, so then, the second thing that we read from Scripture in Genesis, when it comes to this, God says in Genesis 1:28, he says, and God blessed them, the man and the woman now, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed, this on the face of the earth, and every tree with its seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And to every beast on the earth, to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I've given every green plant for food. Okay. So, the second thing God says is go and multiply. I don't have to explain to you how that happens. Part of God's plan was multiplication for humankind. Go and have children. lots of them. Fill the earth. That was the plan of God from the beginning. And subdue the earth and have dominion. And now this is the second thing that I want you guys to just see. When you look from the world's perspective, what is the thing that is being decreased in value more and more and more? Human life. What is being increased more and more and more? Environment. Whatever the environment of, it's now, you know, the rhinos or whatever. But there's a massive shift coming where there are certain animals that have got more rights than humans do. So again, theologically speaking, God said, we are the top, we rule and reign. What does the world want to do? Put creation on top. This is more important than you. You are not at all worthy. Okay, then this wonderful Psalm scripture that I said I wanted to connect this to. Psalm 139, verse 13 to 18. For you formed me, my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. Who cool his eye? Huh? Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Okay? So I couldn't have said it better than the psalmist writing these words. He is at pains saying, you were so intricately, wonderfully made that all of that happened before there was anything. So, when you and I start to grapple with who we are, we need to go back to the book. The book says, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. How were you made? I had one guy that preached once. Was really up in fire, and he said, if you want to know if you're a boy or a girl, look at your plumbing. Because we differ. And with that, I'm not saying that sometimes it's a struggle, because Satan wants you to believe a lie about who you are. He wants you to believe a lie about your identity, what you were made. So, if you are a strong-willed woman, then he will try and say, nah, but you are too this or too that, or whatever. Or if you are a man that has got a lot of sensitive areas, and he says, no, you're a wuss, you know. You're supposed to be a girl, actually. Nonsense. Because you were fearfully and wonderfully made even before everything was made. And then he goes on and he says in verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. It's a beautiful thing to know that the psalmist writes and he says, God, your thoughts to me is like the sand and good thoughts. God loves us. He thinks about us a lot. You know, there's, I don't know where that scripture is. I think it's Psalm 103. It says there that as a father knows how to love his children well, you know, I'm just quoting this point blank, so it might not even stand there, but I think so. So your heavenly father knows it even more, okay? So what that means is, and I've experienced this firsthand, sometimes, I've got three kids, sometimes some of them need more of my attention than others. So, the thought of that scripture is the same. But our Father in heaven is infinite, okay? But He knows sometimes that you and I need more, you know, daddy time or just worship time with God than others. And He will seek out those times to come and minister to you. So if you're in a place where you're really struggling, you know what? Your Father knows you. And He wants to confirm and affirm into you what He has made you to be. All right, and then we get to Genesis 2. That's not Genesis 2. There's in Genesis 2, verse 18. 25. Then the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now, this is always one of my favorite things. The first thing that the man did on the earth was work. And during that work, what was the work? He had to name all the land-walking mammals and birds. That's what he had to do. So he was naming, that was his work. So he did his work. Gentlemen, thou shalt work. Okay? He was working, but then what happened? I'm thinking to myself always, again, speaking to the newlyweds to come. Adam was sitting there. And he was saying, "The elephant, the elephant." Let go. And then, "The buffalo, the buffalo." And then let go. And then he went through, and then he like, "Me, Adam." Yeah. Azikalo. But now I want you guys to see, you know, yes, work is important, but even in that, in a perfect scenario, where God was present, no sin, nothing, God says the one thing that wasn't good. He says, it's not good for man to be alone. Then the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now, out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. Man gave names to all the livestock and all the birds of the heaven and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was niente to find a helper fit for him, nothing. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man. While he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up the place with its flesh, and the rib that the Lord had taken from the man, he made it into a woman, and he brought it to her. And then the man said, okay, so he wakes up. Hallelujah. Our wives loves it when the man wakes up. And he says this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Okay, so back to what we're speaking about. So, and they shall become one flesh. When you get married, when you get into that intimate place, and when you have sex, that is becoming one flesh. But it's more than just a physical thing. It's an emotional and a spiritual thing. One of the most my wife, she's not here. And I'm thinking, how much can I say? Not about that. So, when we enter into this place, okay, as a young man, okay, so let the ball go back. I'm married 12 years now. 12 years. I remember when I was studying, like a vine, okay, the vanity of the ball. The one thing I prayed for is, God, please don't let me die before I can get married. The vanity of the vow. Well, Val was a virgin as well before he got married. So I was looking forward to that thing. Anyway, because you are so brainwashed. you know, when you're younger, and it's just, and this world is crazy, you know, it's just, you know, it's a highly sexualized environment that we live in everywhere. And it's kind of like the utopia that this world holds up there. The best that you can do is to have all the money, all the power, and all the girls. Then you are successful, according to this world. And then you will be happy. Nonsense. Nonsense. So, when I got married, you know, and I'm married 12 years with 3 kids, so we did the Become One Flesh. But what I found is, and it was said to me, and like I'm saying to some of you guys now, is that the becoming one flesh is an amazing thing the older you get. It becomes a rich thing that is not just physical. There's an emotional and a spiritual unity that is amazing. And I've told my wife this last, it's like, you know, I'm really content with my life. And I really like you in that. Because I can experience that thing which God has created us to experience when He said, I shall create the man and woman, or male and female, and they shall become one flesh. So for those of you who have never experienced that, you can be just male or female with Jesus and be perfectly content as well. Okay? Because that you also find in Scripture. Jesus says, some were born eunuchs, other were made eunuchs, but if you can bear this, then that is a good thing for you. Okay? All right. So I leave that there. And then to our Exodus Scripture here. Because of all of those things that I told you now, where we come from just in a sexual sense, and what we represent, and it's all about the glory of God, it's all about the image of God, in that place is where we find Exodus 20, 14. You guys know it, it's just in the Ten Commandments. It says, you shall not commit adultery. Okay? Because adultery breaks down God's image. Adultery breaks down that union which God has given to man and woman. That is what adultery does. And then, also, even if you're not married, you don't do adultery, you do fornication. You know, one thing that I've also found is, I've never understood scriptures, you know, because I was just too young, maybe. But there's one scripture that says that any person who sins sexually sins against their own body. I haven't understood that. How can that be? Until you start to become older, you see, hey, but because I did all that, now there's a lot of work to be done to this woman that I love now, and I've actually hurt her as well, but now this is coming back to my own body. Not instantly. Years later, I see. Now I understand. If you sin sexually, you sin against your own body. Okay, so, I know this is a heavy one, but let's do this. And then, the next one, when it comes to having a holistic view of sexuality from the Bible, I want to read you this story. This is one of the most disturbing stories. And I love the Bible is written, that the Bible is written in such a way that God doesn't, you know, He doesn't, you know, pull the punches, and He gives it to us. This is especially important to teach our kids that because of the sacredness of who you are and who you were made to be by God, you should not be violated. Okay? You should know that this is sacred. Obviously, the other party that violates also should know that, and I know it doesn't happen always, but anyway. So here's the story, 2 Samuel 13, verse 1 to 15. Now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. And Amnon, who was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible for Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend. His name was Jonadab, the son of what they call David's brother. And Jonadab was a very crafty man. Okay, so he schemed. He had a lot of nonsense. And he said to him, "Oh, son of the king, why are you so haggard in the morning after morning? Will you not tell me?" And Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see and it may eat it from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. When the king came, did all that, David sent Tamar to him, saying, "Go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went and to her brother Amnon's house where he was lying. And she took dough and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And then she took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Send out everyone from me." So everyone went out. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the chamber that I may eat from your hand." Tamar took the cakes that she had baked and she brought it to him in the chamber to Amnon her brother. But when she brought them near to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." And she answered him, "No, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this outrageous thing. As for me, where could I carry my shame? And as for you, you would be as one of the outrageous fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold you from me from you." But he would not listen to her, and being stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her with a very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he had hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Get up, go." This is a tough story. In the story, you find somebody that is in love, but it's actually just a lustful thing. He just wants her for her body, maybe. He just wants her for what she can give him. And then he makes this whole plan and he comes and she's actually very wise. She says, "Listen, just speak to the king. He will not withhold me from you, just to do it right." She wasn't not willing to go to him. He didn't listen. And then the sin that comes after this, you know, a long time later, you know, David's other sons, they killed Amnon and his family for what's happened here, because of the hatred that they had. So this hatred continued. But I want you guys to see what happens here. And this is what sometimes, especially men, maybe don't understand. When it's a lustful thing that drives you, and you finally get what you think is your utopia of whatever, then that thing that was such a longing for you turns around and it becomes like gravel in your mouth. It becomes like it says there, and he hated her. Not really her. It was just himself being, you know, absolutely bleh for what he has done. And then he puts her away from him. So when we speak about sexuality, we need to know that this is sacred because it comes from God, and who I am and what I am and my space is sacred too. And we who are stronger, now speaking to the men, we who are stronger need to know that and respect that. That is how God intended it to be. All right, finally, going to be done early today. Lastly, I want to leave this scripture with you guys. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But a sexually immoral person sins against his own body. There's that scripture that I told you guys about. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So when you read this in context, it goes about the sexual immorality, but it comes down to this place of saying, listen, you were bought with a price. You are worthy. You have been bought with a great price. So there's a lot of value on you from God's perspective. And because there's a lot of value on you from God's perspective, then glorify God in your body. So tonight, just laying that foundation. I want to pray with some of you. Maybe this is the first time that you've heard that you've actually got value. Maybe this is the first time that you've heard that you were made by God in such a way that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, and God rejoices over you. And you have been made even before everything was made in God perfectly. And now you can see, listen, maybe all of these thoughts that I have is not from God. I'm not confused. God is not confused. And then you can start to engage into that place with God. And then I know that maybe the story of Tamar also hit home to a lot of people. And maybe it's a lot closer than we think. And I want to trust the Lord to bring healing into your heart, if that is you this evening. That God can come and when you were violated, bring His restoration. From all these scriptures that I said, you know, that He can bring you to that place of knowing that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and every lie that Satan wants to come and put into your head, saying that you're not worthy, God can discard this morning, this evening.